This is the Austin Road Show podcast. The Roads Rewind.
Got news. This is interesting. Again, I've probably gotten, well, let's see. There were three comments based on what I said a moment ago and a bunch of email because we were in a group discussion about this on Facebook on a friend of mine's personal page. And a lot of them thanked me for clarifying exactly what President Trump was talking about when he was trying to explain his lack of personal attacking of the North Korean president on the topic of Otto Warmbier. To retell the story, and I don't mean to be too repetitive here, but Otto Warmbier was cited as one of the many reasons that we shouldn't be having a cordial conversation with the North Korean government. And I find that a little bit disingenuous because the last thing in the world you want is the North Korean government not talking to anyone on the American side. They have a very serious nuclear escalation issue that we need to make sure that we are, number one, on top of, and number two, constantly communicating with them on the topic. And by the way, would you like a list of governments that have oppressive policies and anti-female policies and anti-homosexual policies, all these terrible things that, you know, would never last for 5 minutes in Western civilization as far as, you know, anyone you want to be an ally or a friend with, and yet we still have active conversations with them. Plenty of governments. Plenty of governments. And by the way, up until fairly recently, there were a number of governments, well, actually, there still are a number of them, that allow the death penalty for homosexuality. They do not treat women equally in any way, shape, or form. They're not on an equal legal standing with men. And folks, believe it or not, we have diplomatic relations with those countries. We have ongoing conversation and ongoing negotiation involving economic issues, military issues, you name it. You name it. There are any number of countries that we have great disagreement with in the way that they handle their business, but we still deal with them. Now, on the Otto Warmbier thing, again, terrible, horrible tragedy. Young man over there, you know, again, highly ill-advised. I think to this day, there's still virtual bans on North Korean travel because of things like this going on. But bottom line, he ended up over there, and as a result, he ran afoul of their law and ended up with a ridiculous jail sentence for a completely and totally innocuous crime. And I use the word crime in quotation marks in the air here. Warmbier was sentenced to 15 years of hard labor. And unfortunately, something happened to him in jail. The North Koreans say it was a botulism problem, food poisoning. The Americans that examined Warmbier once he was brought back over here unconscious said that his body looked as though he had undergone severe beatings and perhaps even torture. Now, there is a question, and it's a legitimate question, as to whether or not the North Korean president knew about it. And again, what I tossed you back to in the first segment a little while ago over the phone was that we have had any number of outrageous and completely illegal actions that have taken place at the hands of government agencies under the leadership of President George W. Bush and President Barack Obama that had nothing to do with the orders of President George W. Bush or President Barack Obama. Do you think that it's Army policy to allow a madman to shoot up one of their military installations? Absolutely not. Yet President Obama was president when the Fort Hood sniper did what he did. Terrible thing, horrible thing. And it has been roundly condemned. And by the way, they say, well, it wasn't his policies that led to it. How liberal are the policies about allowing disruptive elements to remain in place in the United States military, whether it's because of mental illness or political belief or religious belief? The Fort Hood shooter, and his name went right out of my head. I apologize for that. The Fort Hood shooter was a known troublemaker with known issues. But everybody tiptoes around because of political correctness and, you know, the fear of ever infringing on anyone's rights or insulting their religion or any of that. They tiptoe around allowing people with, quote-unquote, unpopular views being punished or scrutinized in any way. Did you look up his name?
Nidal Hassan.
Hassan, okay. So a lot of folks say that a lackadaisical attitude toward, quote-unquote, subversive elements in the United States military resulted in this guy being radicalized and put him in a position where he could do the kind of damage that he did. I don't necessarily buy that, but it is out there. Then let's take a look at the Abu Ghraib outrage. And these were, you know, soldiers, United States men and women, military folks, who were in charge of prisoner camps and prisons in Iraq. And there were some clear human rights violations going on with the way that those inmates were being treated. The Quran was being desecrated in any number of ways. They were hazing, for lack of a better term, a number of the prisoners. I call it torture. Well, the mainstream media called it torture. It was more along the lines of hazing, but it was still very uncomfortable and completely and totally a violation of the Geneva Convention. Bottom line, you think W sanctioned that? If you do, you're a moron. Of course he didn't. And it does no one any good to stand by while these things go on. So that's exactly what Trump was talking about in reference to the North Korean president, very likely having no knowledge of what was going on with Otto Warmbier. Now, does that mean that he didn't cover it up or order his people to hush it up or whatever? No, and that really wasn't the question. But the question was asked, did he order that? Did he know about it? President Trump said, I believe him when he says he didn't know about it until after it happened. There you go. And all of a sudden that becomes, he's making excuses. No, he's not. No, he's not. No, damn it, he's not. And again, it's another opportunity for mainstream media, and God almighty they do this, to take some little kernel of something that they can twist around on this president and make him look like an absolute monster. I can't think, when I was watching the afternoon riot in Charlottesville, the Saturday afternoon riot in Charlottesville, I was heartbroken. I have family in Charlottesville. I immediately contacted my sister-in-law to make sure that she and my niece weren't anywhere near, because she is the kind of person that would have shown up to protest with hippies. She would have done it. She's a little bit of a hippie herself, and I love her, and that's fine. But thank God in heaven she wasn't there that day. That was a protest that started over a movement to take down Confederate war memorials. Unfortunately, the entire event was taken over by white supremacists, neo-Nazis, the few that there were, and then a whole bunch of counter-protesters who, you know, despise anything having to do with the Confederacy, and they clashed. They clashed. When President, and as a result of the clash, a young woman was killed. President Trump asked about it. And granted, he's a clumsy man when it comes to the English language, no doubt about it. I sit here and absolutely go bonkers. And again, I stress to you the importance of learning to communicate in a professional sense when you're in junior high or high school. It's a skill that will never leave you, and one that I wish our president was a little bit better at. But the impression was given when he was asked about the riot and the death in Charlottesville. He answered the question, what do you think about this? Well, it's a terrible situation. We don't want violence going on at all. Understand, there are good people on both sides of this argument. Okay, what argument is that? Mainstream media. There are good people on both sides. There are neo-Nazis out there. What are good people, neo-Nazis? There are no good neo-Nazis. And then, boom, there it goes. To this day, you've got ignorant, moronic, let me back up. Shame on me. They're not ignorant. They're misled. You've got left-wingers that are running. The mainstream media knows exactly what the hell they're doing when they propagate this kind of stuff, by the way. But you've got some well-meaning liberals that walk around to this day believing that Donald Trump defended Nazis. No, hell no, he did not, you simple sons of guns, you. No, he did not. He did not. Good people on the side of supporting the Confederate memorials. And they, like I said, went through the list a minute ago, my mom, my grandmother, me, my aunt, a lot of good people on the side of that. This is why our friends on the left need to understand we have a legitimate case to be made against mainstream media. We have a legitimate case to be made against those who sit in newsrooms every single day and look for anything that they immediately go to the worst possible explanation for everything. They immediately put forth a narrative that I'm amazed this guy, President Trump, is as popular as he is. I mean, what it shows me, because you've still got the partisan divide, which is alive and well. In other words, Republicans are believing what I'm explaining here for the most part when they're given an explanation, and the liberals just automatically go with what, you know, mainstream media tells them, or what the first inclination of anything bad can possibly be. Maybe we were like this before, to the degree that we are now. I don't believe it. There were many times when I disagreed with the politics of Barack Obama. I don't know that I ever had to be corrected on something that he believed or something that he did or said that was mistaken, that I took the wrong attitude about, or that I misunderstood, that I misinterpreted in some way. Very, very strange. I don't know, again, that America has ever seen anything quite like the media coverage on this president. In that, the instant they are given the opportunity to turn on him or to show him in a bad light, they do it. And should we ever expect anything differently from this group? Ever? I don't know. This is why I'm finding myself staying completely away from ABC, NBC, CBS when it comes to national news. And said, well, geez, you're going to get one side of everything with Fox. I don't just stay with Fox, but I do. I mean, I go from one extreme to the other. I go from MSNBC. I would rather watch MSNBC watching them knowing what they're doing than someone who's trying to blow wind up my fanny saying, oh, we're calling it straight. No, hell no, you're not. No, you're not. You're not calling it straight. No one with a lick of sense would believe for a minute that Donald Trump is trying to make excuses for the North Korean president on the issue of Otto warm beer. He didn't do it. Yet pull up Facebook right now, social media. Left, I can't believe our president siding with him. He didn't side him, you ignorant idiots. He did not. Why would he? Why would he? Now, if you want to have a conversation with the head of any country concerning the economy, nuclear disarmament, foreign relations involving other countries, in other words, you know, trying to figure out who's allies with who can be dependent on in a certain region to face off against certain regional adversaries, you better have a decent working relationship with them. And one way to guarantee that you won't have that is the instant that you get in their face, you start giving them a hard time about who they are. I mean, dare I drag my wife into this? But if she wants to have a conversation with me about, you know, X, whatever it happens to be, better not use that term, X. If she wants to have a conversation with me about item A, X has bad connotations. Item A, it's pretty good if she wants progress on item A, if she wants a happy, cheerful resolution to item A, she better not get into her anger and disappointments about how items B, C, D, E, and G are going, you know? And by the way, that works for men, too. If you want your wife to come across on, say a trip that you want to take with her, or maybe you've got plans for your kids playing in a certain sport, whatever it happens to be, there's going to be a big conversation about something. It's best not to start the conversation saying, by the way, I want the son to play fall ball, but before we get into the fall ball conversation, let me tell you how bad your housekeeping sucks. You understand that? You get nowhere with that. And so these folks that are, why is he bringing up Otto warm beer? Shut up. Shut up. Very, very sorry about Otto warm beer. Very, very sorry anyone ever has to lose their life in such a way. That's awful. Guess what? The dude has nuclear weapons, and that takes priority right now. Joel, standing by on line one. How you doing, Joel?
How's it going, Austin?
Wonderful.
Yeah, so I just sort of wanted to comment on what's been going on this weekend. Well, sort of in general, what I'm seeing right now with regards to the conservative movement. I'm sort of worrying that we're now sort of in this mode where we are being Trumpian instead of being conservative, in that we seem to be saying yes to Trump because he has an R beside his name instead of criticizing him when it's viable.
Where have I not criticized him when it's been viable? I wish he'd get off Twitter. I wish he would speak more clearly. But where am I failing to jump him where he needs to be jumped, Joel?
Well, from my perspective, I feel as though the national emergency declaration is not the right way to go with regards to the border wall funding.
I tend to agree with that. I tend to agree with it.
Yeah, it's just, well, I'm talking about most Trump's, well, not most, but a significant portion of Trump supporters who seem to be yelling, yeah, yes, go Trump, instead of analyzing all the issues and making sure that he is being a steward of conservative values because he is a Republican. And I feel as if though too many Republicans nowadays are just, for the sake of having a Republican in power in the presidency, they are not looking critically at what actions he takes, such as using executive power for convenient means, and not criticizing
him. He didn't do it as often as Obama did it. and what he's doing, at least, is technically supported by the law. In other words, is it an emergency when the law is not being enforced?
Was Congress really right in giving that power? And I say, as much as possible, we need a...
In giving what power?
Give him executive power in order to bypass Congress in order to pass an agenda that...
On matters of national security, and border control is national security.
But if you flip it around to if a Democrat goes into office, Austin, then wouldn't you be worried about having a Green New Deal rammed through legislatively by the executive branch?
Let's take these things one at a time. What can be done? There's nothing that America could do, including shooting or shutting down every single automobile on American soil, that would cure this climate problem that we say we're having. We are a cork on the ocean when it comes to that. Unless you've got the entire world doing exactly the same thing all at once, there's very little impact that what America does is going to stop whatever they think. And that's another thing. Can we agree for just a minute on, you know, the left is not able to articulate a specific time frame, and not even a general time frame, for when all this horrible stuff's supposed to happen. And oh, by the way, not only that, but we're told that every single weather phenomenon that occurs, if it's too hot, it's global warming. If it's too cold, it's global warming. If there are too many hurricanes, it's global warming. If there are not any hurricanes, it's global warming. Every damn thing that comes down the pike, global warming.
But I'm not talking about the policy itself. I'm talking about the possibility. I'm talking about the possibility of, if this standard were to go through with the wall right now, the precedent that would set for if a Democrat president were in power to enforce, to actually use executive power to go around Congress.
I'm not crazy about the declaration of the emergency to build some. I think that the law that has been passed and approved in the past is worth standing by and fulfilling. If it is against the law for a foreign national to cross into our country without permission, the president is supposed to have the authority as the chief law enforcement officer of the country and also the commander in chief to make sure that there is an infrastructure in place to maintain the law. And that's something Obama, and by the way, every SOB that says anything about sanctuary, city, state, they ought to be slapped right in the mouth with this. You attempt to undermine the law, you're guilty of subverting the law and the Constitution of the United States. You don't scheme in a way to undermine established American law. And people say, well, the emergency is scheming. No, it's not. The emergency is trying to shore up the policies that we already have in place, which are no foreign nationals cross American borders without our permission. Well, how do you stop that from happening? You don't wave a magic wand. You put up a fence. You put up a barrier where needed. I guess the question comes, where is it needed? Where is it needed? I don't know that Congress has ever been, and by the way, I actually looked for this for freaking 3 hours the other day. I can't find any specific description before this year. I can't find any specific description of exactly how long or where a wall or a barrier of any kind is supposed to be. That's executive discretion as to how that happens. Very similar. We had a general manager here at the radio station. He is told by our ownership, go out and sell radio spots. Okay, here's your budget. Okay. They don't hold over. They don't look over his shoulder and find out whether he's got three people trying to sell for one station, one person for another. As long as everything's going okay, it's up to him. It's his discretion. He's the general manager. The chief executive officer of the United States military or commander-in-chief and the number one law enforcement officer is supposed to be able to do, within reason, what he needs to do to enforce the law. Donald Trump nor this Congress have ever one time written or voted in any restrictions or a relaxing of restrictions on immigration or immigration rules. All he's trying to do is enforce what's on the books. And up until now, it's always been discretion to a degree. That they give him X number of dollars for border security. I'm begging you, find written in law where it says you are to build to 47 degrees southwest to 87 degrees northwest. No, it never said that. I've never seen it. I've never seen any specific description of any wall anywhere. Yet, take a look at the Mexican border. Take a look at the Canadian border. All kind of walls, all kind of fences. Who the hell decided to put them in place, Joel?
The
president at the time. The president or his people at the time. Rarely has a president ever kind of gotten into that level of minutia. I'm sure Obama wouldn't send back, yeah, let's take it from so-and-so Washington to so-and-so Minnesota. No, I'm sure he never did that. But somebody in his administration did. And under his guidance, under his support.
Yeah, but that was with the support of Congress, wasn't it, with the Fences Act?
Again, not specifically described. Here's X number of dollars. This is for border security. Thank you. Whether they built in the past a concrete wall, a fence, a moat filled with alligators, none of it. I'm daring somebody to find it. I looked. I couldn't find it. If it's out there, please show me. I've never seen one word up until now about anybody getting specific about where, how or why you have a wall or a fence anywhere. So there's your homework, Joel. See if you can find it. I don't think you can, bless your heart. There may be some state governments that have done it. I don't know of a single measure from the United States government that gave specific instructions about a wall.
Thanks for listening to the Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Rhodes Show. Listen to Austin weekdays from 3 till 6 on Augusta's News Talk and Information Station, WGAC, at 95.1 FM, 101.9 FM, and AM 580. Stream it live on WGAC.com or on the WGAC mobile app. Thanks for listening to the Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Rhodes Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.